This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Browns have scored more than 18 points in one of nine games this year. Let me repeat that.
We're not very good. Is that what you're trying to say?
The Browns have scored more than 18 points in one of nine games, 10 games this year. And how do you throw for 395 yards and no interceptions and A, lose, and B, don't score more than 14? I mean, I can't look at Jameis Winston and think that he was anything but really good yesterday. And yet they scored only 14 points.
Yeah,
we're going to talk Jameis coming up
in
a little bit.
You know, when they came back, they hit the two-point conversion, game tied at 14. I'm like, you know what, they got a chance. Maybe they can win, short week. Maybe you can kind of turn that frown upside down. And man, whoa, what happened? And who are we blaming? And what's the right thing to do? And how do you not overreact? And how do you underreact? How mad were fans after the game last night, Jeff?
It was the nastiest post game we've had in a very long time.
Really?
Yeah, it was nasty.
So does apathy set in now?
Folks were really mad.
Dan,
didn't you think folks were really mad yesterday?
There were a couple that I had to calm down more than typical.
That's before they even get on the air.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, I'd have to answer them in the back, and they would start yelling, and I would look at them and go, look outside. Is the sun still out? Yeah, you're okay.
You really say that to them?
Oh, about three people.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, yeah, you're right. The sun is out, and it's November. All right. Yeah,
it was
good
nasty.
For you.
By the way, can I pick a nit?
Sure.
Why would you go for two? You get a penalty, and it moves the ball to the one, okay?
Yeah.
If you want it to. Right?
Yeah.
So you do if you want to go for two. And then you throw the pass. Well, don't you move it to the one because you think you can run it in from the one? And that's why you go for two instead of going for the tie?
Jeff, we don't have Taysom Hill on our team. I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
I mean, if you were going to throw a pass, you should have just gone for two in the first place.
Maybe they were trying to catch him off guard.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. 216-474-0092. We go to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Ryan is with us. Hello, Ryan.
Rhino.
Oh, gentlemen.
Ann Arbor now. Is there any place you don't visit?
I think it's really cool because 99% of my working scenarios in yesteryears were all in one spot.
Wow.
And long story short, I got a gig that says, hey, where do you want to go? I said, hey, here's where I want to go. I digress on me.
Yeah, go.
Is this the office I step into for Brown Therapy Monday, please?
It's the only place.
Oh, let me exhale. Let me put my feet up here. All right, hey, side note, Menigan, I do a mean Joe Pesci. I don't know if you want to.
Let's hear it. I want to hear it. Give it a whirl.
Yeah. All right, 92.3 casino style.
where you get off going over my head. I'm what counts out here, pal. That's your country club or your TV show or your radio show. And where do you get off going on the radio? You know, I get calls from back home thinking you would bat. You know what? Warned. You might. I'm what counts out here. That's about all I got.
That's pretty good.
Well done, right?
I told you I saw a woman with a big old tattoo of Danny DeVito, not Joe Pesci. Danny DeVito on her calf.
Yeah, I give my Joe Pesci a D-, but I digress, man. I tell you, man, you know, I I'm trying to be glass half full mentality because I'm a diehard Browns fan, dog pound Thursday. And again, before I begin, I'm a Barry and the Browns that be. I want to say the consolation prize, if there is one, is to punch Pittsburgh in the belly this Thursday. This is our Super Bowl. As disgusting as it sounds, because we should have been trying for the real Super Bowl. But if there's any consolation prize, man, you better show up in the dog pound this Thursday and at a stadium and showcase, you know, that at least you give a darn. You know what I mean? Because this Browns team, while it is lackluster, there is one more darn important game, and it's this Thursday, man. And if you can't get you're ready for something this important against our arch rival, man, I don't consider you a Browns fan. Now, disaster control, man. I tell you, this Barry guy, he really, really shouldn't even look himself in the mirror. I don't know how he's walking tall, because I can assure you, if you lived in any other country, Barry, if you took someone's $250 million, a billionaire, and messed with the city's psychological scenario, it took away the possibility of a real scenario, you'd be... Firing is the last thing you'd be worried about right now. I can assure you, do not let the door hit you with the good Lord split you. This is a guy that really should be fired. And again, the Browns should assess, obviously, another GM like a Dorsey or something who knows what they're doing with football, because this is the best sports city in the world, and we deserve better. That is a passion of ours. It's football. And to be laughed at and mocked by the rest of the football world and the country is disgusting. And again, this is the team that was supposed to go far, and I know there's injuries, and I know there's other scenarios, but I tell you, man, just the scenario in which we could have kept Baker and kept those three draft picks and moved forward, but instead we got junk. We got junk. We got a guy, Watson, with his luggage. We didn't need that. We didn't need that black cloud over our city, and we got it, and it really hit us hard. And I can assure you, man, I don't know if you hear my anger, but this is the most disgusting year. That non-biased perspective, non-prisoner of the moment, Andy, Jeff, Menigan, this is the worst season in Browns history. With that being said, gentlemen, I love you guys, but I really despise Barry. And I tell you, man, if there's anything that we can get out of this is a win Thursday and seeing Barry get fired live on TV. Anyway, guys, great show as always. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Joe Pesci, thank you very much. That was Joe doing his Ryan in Avon Lake, North Olmsted.
He's out of breath right now.
Ann Arbor, Las Vegas impression.
Do we? I mean, obviously, because you're general manager, you get the credit or the disappointment if a pick or transaction doesn't work. But do we know that he was ultimately behind this, making sure we get Deshaun Watson?
We have no idea who was ultimately behind, because, as Andrew said in his press conference during the bye week, we were all on board.
Yeah, I would say, well, it's everybody then.
We were all on board.
All right.
That's what they said, right?
Yeah, they were all on board.
Those words came out of his mouth.
Yep.
All on board. Ed is in Avon Lake, home of the Shoreman.
Hello, Ed.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're hanging in. It's going to be a long day today. I got a feeling. Just got a feeling. It's a therapy Monday, man.
I hear a lot of people complaining.
Yeah.
I got up at 5:58 this morning so I could call in at 6 o'clock. But when I turned it on, I realized no one was going to call. So I just hung up and went back to bed. But anyways, that guy...
You mean no one was going to answer? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
But that makes more sense.
No,
okay.
No, you weren't going to put anybody in the air because nobody cares about the Browns anymore.
I got you. Okay, now it makes sense. Okay, so sorry. I'm a little slow.
You guys are all blaming the wrong people.
Who should we be blaming? Well, Jeff and I are trying to figure out who to...
We're not blaming anybody.
I blame Jeff. I think this is all Jeff's fault.
The whole thing's kind of a mess.
Just hear me out.
Yeah.
We need to blame the NFL front office and the commissioner of the NFL.
New one. Okay.
You know why?
No, fill me in. Enlighten me.
For allowing Deshaun to continue to play?
Give us our franchise back. Give us our franchise back. We didn't want an expansion franchise. Give us our franchise back.
So we're going to move the Baltimore Ravens here?
The Browns. Nobody can fix them. Haslam can't fix them. Barry can't fix them. And why isn't Haslam at the podium today?
Well, owners usually don't speak unless you're Jerry Jones after
until
games.
Until the end of the season. They do one press conference here.
You've got to get this guy on the air and start putting his feet to the fire. He's the blame. You got to start criticizing him a lot more. Forget about the coach, the GM. We've had 72 of these guys rotate through here. You got to start attacking the owner.
We got to attack him.
We have to attack.
Jeff, it's on you, man. I told you it's your fault, Jeff.
Here's the thing. Ed, the owner, to me, has done maybe one thing that's wrong. Okay? The one thing that's wrong is this. If, in fact, the owner is the one who insisted on the trade for Deshaun Watson, there you go. I can't even be that mad about insisting on drafting Johnny Manziel because it was the 22nd pick in the draft. I can't. And if you want to blame the owner for not drafting Josh Allen when you had the chance and John Dorsey like Baker Mayfield, blame the owner for that. To me, that's the issue.
You want to blame the owner? Blame the owner every time. I find it interesting as we've sat here for 13 years and people get mad at owners and they get mad at general managers. And then all of a sudden this team starts to win and they're like, oh, we are so lucky. This is so great.
Well, it's
Jeff, interesting. Jeff, I'm never, ever, ever going back to the ballpark again because they changed the name. Oh, wait a minute. There were like 2 million people there this year. I get it. We're all in the, we're in the moment right now. We're yelling about where your feet are right now. I get it. I understand it.
Folks are upset with Browns ownership because the Browns aren't winning, but the owner spends tons of money. Doesn't blink when it comes to spending money. Folks don't.
Maybe that's a problem.
Folks don't like the Guardians ownership because they don't spend enough money. But by God, they win. So
wait till the Cavs lose a game.
What do you want? You want an owner that spends money and wins. Because we have one that doesn't spend big money and wins, and people don't like him. And we have one that spends a ton of money, and the team doesn't win consistently over the last 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
And people don't like him.
How's that being mad at Dan Gilbert thing working out for all those folks when LeBron left the first time? Still mad at him? How's that working out?
Joe's in Shaker Heights.
Hey, Joe.
Joe, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. You guys do a good job. I was reminded yesterday of another problem, of another mistake by DePodesta and Barry, and I want them out. Harvard or not, Yale or not, wherever they went, we have too many of those guys in my business career. Yeah. Those people who went to those schools aren't all that, but he's enamored with them. Anyway, when I saw Grant Delpit play yesterday, I thought of 6 years ago when the Browns had the chance to take Antoine Whitfield, who's now with Tampa Bay. Antoine Whitfield, whose dad was on Ohio State.
Yep.
And Garfield High School in Akron, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, he's terrible. Delpit's terrible. He's very erratic. Of course he makes a good play now and again. Of course. He is such an erratic, half-ass tackler. And we could have had Antoine. And he's maybe the best player in the National Conference. He's one of the highest paid. But Barry and DePodesta thought he was 5'8", 5'9". Let's go for a 6'2 guy who has a reputation of not being a great tackler. I mean, if these guys ran an airline, they'd hire guys who are not so good on takeoffs, not so good on landings, but fairly good on takeoffs.
Joe, thank you very much.
I think we all have one of those players that we look at and go, why didn't they take this guy? Tristan Wirfs is one of those guys for me. I watch him play.
It's all over the place, Andy. It's all over the place. That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. And this is Greg in Cleveland. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
How you all doing this morning?
We're hanging in. A lot of people not happy about your Browns.
Yeah, that's just embedded in, it's ingrained in us. We come up in this region and we just have a love for the Browns. And some of us don't even know why. We've just been conditioned to love the Browns because
DNA, man. It's in our DNA.
It's your team.
Yeah.
It's your team, Greg.
I do want to say the sky's not falling. It's okay. We woke up this morning, and even though we suck in football, we can find other ways to make ourselves happy in our lives. I don't want to see anybody fired on national TV. I am at the point, though, where I'm ready to let the whole regime go. And I've never been there with Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. but I'm ready for everybody to go. I think you need to bring in a veteran who's done it before with a young offensive guy who's probably up and coming to run the offense. But this has to go. Everything. Like, I'm sorry. It just has to go. We can't keep on putting a square peg in a round hole expecting it to work. Like, some of the decisions that were made this year made no sense, and we see what was the outcome.
Greg, thank you very much. I think Kevin Stefanski is a good football coach. I do. The two Coach of the Year honors, okay, somebody voted him Coach of the Year. I thought he did a nice job coaching this team. And this year, it has not worked. I don't know if one year you bail on a guy. It happens all the time in the NFL. And it could certainly happen. I mean, there's no question it could certainly happen. And I think there's been a lot of talk about how good the roster is. I've always had my doubts about how good the roster is. I think there are some talented football players. I think they made some nice free agent signings. I think they made some nice trades. You build a football team through the draft, and they've not drafted well. I mean, they flat out haven't drafted well. Part of the reason is because they didn't have the best picks because they went to Houston.
True.
Part of the reason.
And yeah.
Sorry, that can't be ignored here. Chris is in Cleveland. Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're hanging in. How about you?
I'm okay. So, basically, I was calling. I feel like everybody's tripping. I don't know if it's Jimmy Haslam's fault, Stefanski's fault, Barry's fault. But to me, this is the same scenario that happened to the Milwaukee Bucks. So, I'm leaning towards Haslam, even though I like Haslam. I think you brought Vrabel in. He's scaring Stefanski. You took the play calling away from him when that's what he did well. And then you take away Bill Callahan, Van Pelt, and the running backs coach, and we wonder why our offense is bad. Like, to me, it makes no sense. You have all of these parts that left. Even though they aren't players, they were the core of the team, and they had been there. So once they left, things got bad.
Can we cut the Bill Callahan, can we cut the Browns a little slack? He wanted to coach with his son, and then let him out.
I understand that one, but I think – why get rid of Van Pelt? Why get rid of –
Well, that to me doesn't make a lot of – and Dorsey may end up paying the price for that when this is all said and done.
That's true. And so might Kevin and so might Andrew Barry.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Dorsey had a quarterback that was better than our quarterback, and his offense was questionable last year. So it was like, why bring this guy in? And who's making all of these decisions? Is this Stefanski? Is it Barry? Is it – who is this doing all of this?
Chris, so, the one thing that's interesting about this, and to feed off of what you just said, the way this is structured right now, like we had a phone caller yesterday on the postgame show who was livid at Paul DePodesta and said it was all his fault. And I said, well, how do you know? What does he do? And he said, you tell me what he does. And I said, well, I would assume he consults with ownership and with the coaching staff and with the front office. He's the chief strategy officer is what his title is. But they've never told us exactly what he does. So to deflect blame here or to blame someone, I don't know exactly who to blame on everything. It all goes back to ownership, and ownership will tell you that. Kevin Stefanski will tell you it's all on him. You know, so it's a very, very vague situation here.
And I think they all have to just sit down in a room and get it together, because really it's the same scenario that played out last year with the injuries, with people like that. The only difference is we wore them with it. You know, we had backup quarterbacks. We had backup running backs. We had a second string O-line. We had all of these parts last year. He just won with it. And now it's, you know, everybody who was screaming, great job last year, screaming, oh, you guys suck now. So it's like, where's the grace at all for any of these guys?
Chris, thank you for the phone call. The way that things are structured, Andy, I think, you know, it's like in some organizations, it's real clear. This guy's in charge and he's doing this and this guy's doing this. The Paul DePodesta factor here is interesting because nobody's exactly sure how much power Paul has here. No one's, I don't think, completely sure how much power Andrew Berry has because of Paul DePodesta, vice versa. And is the owner calling the shots on picking up a quarterback? You know, that's, we might see before the end of the season, at the end of the season, who's calling certain shots by who's still here.
I just, I mean, the way things are going, and as you said at the beginning of the show, there's just no way this structure is going to look the same way it does at the end. When this season's all, well, there's no way they're coming back with all of this.
This gets
there's
guys fired.
There's just no way.
No.
You can't go, they got to,
you know, one
you got to win three or four here down the stretch to even give you a chance to come back. This isn't even about whether you think there's someone's a good play caller, or you think someone is a good general manager, or you think somebody is, you know, giving you good advice. Someone is going to end up paying the price for this season, because it never should have been this way. It never. Now, injuries, I can understand. Like, no one wants to see a player like we saw yesterday, you know, get your leg broken. And no one was planning on any of that stuff. But when there are games that you're in and you're losing games by less than a touchdown, there you can see some light at the end. I didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel yesterday. That fourth quarter
did.
You did?
Yeah,
well,
through
on
three.
On offense, a little
through
bit.
Through three quarters.
Yeah. Maybe two and a little bit.
I didn't think the Browns were playing great football, but after three quarters, you go into the fourth quarter and it's 14-all.
Yeah, but you still need to execute.
Oh, I know.
How can you have an offense that can't score more than 20 points a game?
You tell me.
You heard Darryl.
I have
like,
no idea.
These numbers are worse than 99.
Well, and Andy,
they're worse than 99. And the other hard part about it is, you look again, Deshaun doesn't have any 300-yard games. You got backups coming in off the street.
Andy, he didn't have a 200-yard game this year. Jameis Winston in three starts has
two
300-yard games.
And we all know what Flacco did last year. Look, it was a bad move to bring him in. It just was. And it set the franchise back by five years.
They need to bite the bullet
and somehow need to lean into it and say, we made a mistake. We've got to figure out a way out of this thing. I don't even know you can say trust us. Just if you can be patient with the process, we're going to get this thing back up on its feet. We know how close we were when Baker was here. We get it. I mean, we saw it. And they thought they could upgrade, and they were wrong. If you can lean into it and just admit that you were wrong, you made a mistake, a monumental mistake, I think people might be a little more forgiving.
To me, the monumental mistake isn't moving on from Baker. It was going and getting Deshaun.
So you're saying they should have stayed with Baker?
No, I at that point, they should have, but I would have looked for another quarterback as well. I think
Baker's
doing a nice job in Tampa, but I don't consider him one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league.
Where would we be now if we had him? And I don't want to play that game. I really don't.
Well, where you would be, though, is you'd have competent quarterback play,
right,
and a bunch more draft choices.
Well, the one thing
that you can either hit on or not.
The good thing about Jameis is you can do some evaluation, right? Like, look at all the wide receivers
We've heard all that.
But I mean, you can see how the wide receivers have emerged.
And guess
emerged.
What?
The offensive line looks a little bit better. And the offensive line looks better. So I'm not trying to dump everything on one player, but that is going to go down.
Well, it's
as
one move, and that without question. I saw it written that it was the worst contract in the history of professional sports over the weekend. His headline on brownzone.com, analysis, four takeaways from another disheartening defeat. And Scott gets into it really well. He joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
So riddle me this one. And we've all thrown this out. I've heard it from Dan, from me, from you have 395 yards passing, no interceptions, and you lose by 21. What? how does that happen?
It's hard to do.
Well, I think you miss a couple
field goals. Yeah, you miss a couple field goals. That costs you, whatever, 6 points. You give up some long, long touchdowns on defense. That tilts the scoreboard a little bit. And you're not that good on third down. And they haven't been all year, and they were bad again yesterday. I think it was 3 for 13. So I guess that's how it happens. But, you know, they haven't been able to move the ball all year. And to move it as well as they did consistently yesterday and only walk away with 14 points, it's just another one of those head-scratchers in a season full of them.
You talk about head-scratchers. How about head-rollers? Who's going to pay the price for this when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the question that's hanging over the team right now, and for who knows how long it'll hang over the team.
I mean, can you feel that when you're out there covering them?
No.
You can't? Okay.
I can't. No, and I don't – I was just talking to Tom Withers about this on the phone 2 minutes ago. I don't feel that in the locker room. Now, maybe it changes if they lose Thursday, right? They lose two games in 5 days, and then it feels like it's over, and who knows? The vibe changes. I have not sensed that at all this season. I get it. I get that the Haslams fire GMs and coaches. I get that the league is one where there's a lot of turnover every year and guys get fired. I get that the Browns have fallen so short of expectations. It's unbelievable. I get the anger. I get all of it. I don't know that the right move is to fire everyone. I just don't. I keep pointing to the fact that they went to the playoffs a year ago with the same people. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is a worse coach than he was a year ago. And they've been to the playoffs. This is a franchise that's been terrible. We all know how bad it's been. And they've been to the playoffs twice in the previous 4 years. Now, that's not an excuse for this year. And I don't know if it saves anybody a job. But I do think that's worth remembering. And it's also worth remembering that this is a crazy league. And there's a lot of upheaval from year in, from 1 year to the next. And then things balance out or things correct themselves the following year. I guess my point is I don't think any of those major decisions should be made just based on 2-8. I think the decisions need to go way beyond that.
People don't want to hear that, Scott, because I've said the same thing. I've said the same thing and people scream like crazy.
I mean, I get it, but the instant gratification of, okay, they fired this guy. Doesn't mean the next guy's going to be any better.
Thank you very much.
It doesn't mean that's the right move.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. I mean, it might be the right move. I'm not trying to make a huge defense for these guys. And if you wanted to, we could go into each guy. And I think they're separate. I don't think it's necessarily a package deal when we're talking Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski.
And see, I think that's a critical question that a lot of people are asking. You don't think it's a package deal?
I don't. I mean, I don't. I think they're two individual people. Andrew Berry is not directly in charge of Kevin Stefanski. I mean, Kevin Stefanski was hired before Andrew Berry. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're a package deal. Now, it complicates things, you know, if you want to go down this road. If Andrew Berry does not have a job any longer, then, do you force Kevin Stefanski on the next GM? Like, those are the kind of questions that are answered by every team. And, right. You know, Jacksonville's going through the same thing right now. So, you know, is it more complicated if you keep one and not the other? Certainly. But I don't think it's necessarily – I don't think it is a package deal. I don't think it should be a package deal if it winds up coming to something like that.
You think the defense quit on the team yesterday, fourth quarter?
I don't. And I know that that's – I'm just an anti-popular opinion guy. But
no, I'm just hearing that's why we're talking to you. You're right. That's why we love having you on.
But I got up and I rewatched the fourth quarter today. And that's when the quitting would have happened, because it's 14-14 going to the fourth quarter. And I didn't see it. I watched every play looking for examples of quitting. If you wanted to point at Juan Thornhill on the 75-yard touchdown, he's jogging. You could point to that. And I'll tell you what, if you watch every game and every player, when a guy thinks the play's over and he's not going to catch him, they're not running 100% any longer. That's just how it works in this league. I know on the long touchdown to Valdes-Scantling, it looks like Thornhill's jogging, and he's running and he's jogging. So if you want to point just at Thornhill and just on those two snaps, I'll listen. But I watched the rest of the defense. Now, Mamu Diabate makes a terrible decision to try to punch out the ball instead of pushing Hill out of bounds.
Exactly. Man, we were talking about that today, too.
Yeah, but that's not an effort issue. I mean, the guy's a second-year undrafted guy. He's not out there not playing hard. He just made a bad decision.
Yeah.
I get it. When the team's terrible and you give up a bunch of points in the fourth quarter, people want to say quit. I didn't see it. I didn't see it live. I went back and watched it and didn't see it, except for maybe that one or two isolated Thornhill things. And, again, I think you'd see the same thing with any team in the league on a long touchdown.
Scott Pentrak joining us, brownzone.com. You can read all of Scott's work as he covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Would you sign Jameis Winston, and would you sign him now for next year?
Don't you? This is such a great discussion, because a week ago, I listen to you guys every once in a while, right? It's when's DTR going to play? And I get it. That's the roller coaster of the season. It's the roller coaster of Jameis Winston. But I would not rush to sign him right now. I think he's certainly in play to be your bridge guy in 2025. It's 2 out of 3 good starts for him. I do think it's fair to expect him to get better the longer he plays, and I think we forget that sometimes. He had not, you know, he hasn't been a full-time starter since the beginning of 2022, or 2021. One of those, 2021, I think. And then he tore the ACL. He started 3 games the next year and then got hurt again. So it's been a long time since he played a bunch of games and or a bunch of snaps and was the guy. So I think it's natural to expect him to get more comfortable the longer he plays, the longer he stays in there. He certainly sparks this offense. He gives receivers a chance to make plays, and they're actually making some plays, which we didn't see in the first 6-plus games with Watson at quarterback. So I think he deserves a long look. I think he's on your list for next year, but I think it's still premature to rush to lock him in for 2025.
Is there any chance that more than a bridge? Because he is only 30 years old.
Yeah. And I think it helps to look around the league and, okay, well, Geno Smith has had, you know, his career has been resurrected.
Sure.
There's examples of that around the league.
Darnold in Minnesota right now.
Right? I mean, right now, right? The one season. Yeah. Smith's done it longer. I certainly think that's possible. Now, your concerns are still always going to be there with Jameis. As he turns the ball over too much. You know, do you trust him playing in, play out to make the right decision and not put you in harm's way? Like, I think that's a real concern. But again, I'll look to that time when he was starting in New Orleans with Sean Payton as his coach. They went 5-2 when he threw 14 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So that good decision-making is there. And I think, I don't think he's ever going to be a top 12 guy. But could he stabilize it and give you a chance to, go to the playoffs? Is he good enough there? I think you could make that argument.
What to do with Jed Wills? DeJuan Jones is hurt. What are they going to do there?
That's awful.
I think, first of all, the Jones injury is terrible.
That's horrible.
Terrible for him. I think it's terrible for the organization because, in my opinion, they did not see enough of him at left tackle to make any kind of definitive decision. I thought he was fine, but when you talk to players and coaches, nobody's saying he lit it up. It's Kevin Stefanski said, we saw some decent play. Has it been inconsistency? And you would have gotten a much, obviously, larger sample size and a better idea if he could be your left tackle of the future. Now I don't think you know if you're Andrew Berry or whoever's making these decisions moving forward. So it's terrible for him, terrible for the organization. I think you got to go back to Jed Wills. Assuming the knee is healthy, you got to go back to him. He's a better player than Jermaine Ifedi. And he should be motivated because he's in the last year of his contract. He's probably not – I have a hard time figuring out a scenario where he returns here. So he could put 7 games of film on tape and maybe go get a legitimate contract to go be a starting left tackle somewhere. So if he's healthy, I think he wants to be out there. I think they should put him out there and see how it goes. I've been a defended Wills more than most people. I think he's a legitimate starting left tackle in this league. He's not lived up to his number 10 pick. There's plenty of, if you want to question effort, you can point to him. His body language is bad. I still think he's a legitimate player in this league.
Scott, Bubba Ventrone, is he in trouble? I mean, to me, it feels like the special teams have gone backwards here. You tell me.
Who knows how any of this is going to play out. And, right. If Kevin Stefanski comes back, I would certainly expect there to be staff changes. We've seen staff changes when they've been good, right? We saw blow up the offensive staff last year. So I would certainly think coming off whatever this season's going to be, there would be staff changes. And, I would certainly think Bob would be part of those discussions. Special teams have regressed. I don't blame any special teams coordinator for a kicker missing kicks.
Right.
But I do point to special teams coordinator when you give up a 53-yard punt return in a close game in the fourth quarter that leads to a touchdown. That's on Bubba's unit. And we've seen that too many times this year. Now, they also have not been explosive at all in the kick return game, and maybe that's a personnel issue versus a scheme issue. But you can easily point to kick coverage, and they failed way too many times, and it got them in a big moment yesterday. And to me, I don't know how I'm going to phrase it or if I'll even get the chance to ask Kevin Stefanski this today, but the defense and special teams had been really good, and they've been bad this year. And it's hard to win like that, and I would like some kind of explanation for why anybody thinks there's been such a fall-off in those two key areas.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. The wide receiver play has picked up considerably since Jameis Winston has been a quarterback. Is it a mirage, or is Jameis unlocking something here that maybe Ken Dorsey was helping to unlock? I don't know. Jerry Jeudy looked really good. Elijah Moore made that terrific catch in the end zone. Cedric Tillman's numbers were a little down this week, but he's been outstanding since the Amari Cooper trade. What's the deal in your mind?
Well, it's certainly no coincidence that those receivers are playing better given the quarterback change. He gives them a chance to make plays. He gives them a chance to win one-on-one battles. He's finding guys that are open. I know he missed Njoku on the corner route, and you could see him on the sideline screaming when he saw it on the tablet. But I think he generally does a better job seeing the field than Watson did, and that enables guys to have chances, and then they've taken advantage of it. The Browns have really been high on Cedric Tillman, and he's starting to prove that confidence and that trust that they're right, that he is a legitimate player in this league. Jerry Jeudy can make plays in space, and we saw that in training camp, that if you get him out in space with the ball in his hands, he can do some damage, and he did that yesterday. I thought he had a chance to make a play late in the third quarter. Jameis threw a great pass on a go route, and there was contact with the defender, but the ball hit Jeudy right in the hand. You know, Elijah Moore, you know, he's been up and down, and he didn't get a lot of looks early, and then he gets a couple chances, makes a big, I think it was a fourth down catch, he makes a big touchdown catch when Winston finds him. So I think it's all about the quarterback giving these guys chances. And to me, it's just people always argued, or some people argued, well, you need to support Watson better. And I don't think that was the case. I think Watson didn't do anything to raise those guys around him, and Winston is. And it's the same group of guys, and Winston's giving them a chance, and they're making it work. And I do think they're still a receiver short, probably. Right? I don't know if any of those guys are number ones, but they've shown that they can play. And, you know, 395 yards, you don't do that without somebody catching the ball.
Scott, it's Jameis Winston right now. Last year it was Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
The play of both of those guys and Jameis right now in a situation that's obviously not going well for anybody, this is showing that there's no way they can bring Deshaun Watson back next year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just one more piece of evidence, you know, that, yeah, it is about Watson. And it's not about injuries, and it's not about system, and it's not about supporting cast. It was about Deshaun Watson not being good enough. And, yes, there's a million layers to that, and there's the suspension and the injuries and all that. But you certainly can't bring him back as the starting quarterback. He just hasn't been nearly good enough, and you're right. The Flacco / Winston, and you can even point to Jacoby Brissett back in the day.
Yeah,
I think those are all examples of, yeah, somebody else is doing his job so much better.
All right, short week, hostile environment. I don't even know. It might be like an away game for these guys on Thursday night, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a bunch of Steelers fans there.
Oh, it's going to be brutal. Although we're not mad. I'm not really mad at Browns fans if they want to sell their tickets. I'm going to be honest. Should we be mad at Browns fans? I don't think so.
Oh my, yeah. I mean, I don't like to criticize fans for anything. They can do whatever they want. They can boo, they can cheer, they can not show up.
Yep.
You know, it's not like selling your tickets to the Cubs fans in the World Series, and even then you're getting a ton of money. So I don't know if I blame fans for that. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be a bunch of Steelers fans. I'll tell you what, this feels like a game, it's going to sound silly maybe, that in short week, Steelers are coming off Pittsburgh, off the Baltimore game. It's a home game for the Browns. Like, it feels like a game the Browns have a legitimate chance to win. It's not a huge point spread.
Mm-hmm.
But Pittsburgh has found a way to win all these games, while all the Browns do is find a way to lose. So I don't know how you could feel any confidence that and a tight game in the fourth quarter, what makes you think the Browns are going to figure out a way to win against a Pittsburgh team that always figures out a way to win? Or usually figures out a way to win.
Usually. And did yesterday. So yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. A pleasure, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Petrak joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Read Scott's work, brownszone.com, as he covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Jameis Winston yesterday threw for 395 yards. I've liked Jameis since he was in Tampa. I think he's fun to watch. I think he's sometimes erratic. We know that. It's been so clear what a guy with an arm and some vision can do in this offense. Now, they've not put up points. That's clearly the missing ingredient here. Although, you know, there's been one game when they put up more than 18 points, and Jameis was the quarterback in that game. And that was against Baltimore, who held the Steelers to field goals yesterday. All that said, Jameis has been the starting quarterback here for three games. You ready for these, Andy? This is interesting.
Yep.
From yesterday alone, this is just yesterday in the NFL. Yesterday, 395 yards. Second most passing yards yesterday in the NFL. 30 completions yesterday. Tied for the most completions in the NFL yesterday. 46 pass attempts. They threw it a lot. Tied for second most in the NFL. Three starts here for Jameis Winston. 965 passing yards in those three starts in the three-game stretch. Last three games for quarterbacks in the NFL. Second most passing yards in the NFL. Over the last three games, 83 completions, third most completions, 133 attempts, second most, three interceptions, tied for seventh.
Okay.
So guys have thrown more interceptions than Jameis, and there are, I think, four guys who have thrown three over the last three games, but he's thrown it more than they have. The interception reputation, though I'm not going to say isn't valid, hasn't really been on display. Yesterday, he threw it 46 times and didn't throw a pick.
Here's a problem I'm having, right? So I'm looking at yesterday's numbers, and I'm like, oh, he was 5 yards short of 400, right?
Yeah.
5 yards short. And do we even – and then I'm like, well, if you're moving the ball up and down the field that much, what's going on in the red zone, right? So you know where the Browns rank in red zone scoring attempts per game? Want to guess?
Tell me.
Dead last, 32nd. Chicago is 31st, and we're the only one that averages on the season less than two red zone attempts on offense per game. We're the only team in the NFL, 1.7. Chicago is above us at 31 at 2.3. You know, yesterday, two attempts inside the red zone on offense. It's just, you know, I'm just looking at these numbers, and they're pathetic. Right? I mean, if he can move the ball up and down the field and we can't get into the red zone, what's that say?
I'm not putting that on the quarterback who's been the starter for three games.
No, I'm not either. I'm just saying, why can't we get into the red zone?
That's a fine question.
We got to score from outside the 20 all the time? Is that what we have to do?
I don't know. That's a fine question.
1.7.
All I know
game.
Is...
Come on.
He looks better.
It's embarrassing.
He clearly, obviously, we all know, he looks better than what Deshaun Watson looked in this offense. Deshaun didn't have a 200-yard passing game, and Jameis has three. And he has two 300-yard games out of his three starts.
Oh, man.
I would, without question, sign him. And if I could sign him now for next year, I would. I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll, you know, sit around and wait. All I'll say is this. He's here now. He's playing pretty good football at quarterback for this team. And if he keeps playing pretty good football for this team, somebody else might want him too. Then what do you do?
How do you juggle it around? Do we have contract complaints? I mean, contract reservations on this, on how to be able to afford him.
I don't know, and that's not my job. All I know is that they have lots of deep thinkers over there who have degrees in economics and finance and everything else, and they can figure out how to do it. What they need to figure out is, we need a quarterback on this team. How do we get one? Because Deshaun's not the guy. I mean, come on, we all know that. You want to really kill your fan base? Let Jameis walk out the door. Don't sign a guy like Sam Darnold. And I'm not glued on Jameis. What I'm glued on is the idea of a guy who can come in and make this thing work a little bit. If it's not Jameis, okay. Is it Sam Darnold? Okay. Is it Kirk Cousins because they're going to go with Michael Penix? Okay. All I know is it can't be Deshaun Watson if you're going to try and sell it to your fan base. Andy, you want to kill interest in the team? Go into training camp next year with Deshaun as your number one quarterback. You want to kill interest? That would do it, wouldn't it? And maybe he figures it out and plays well again one day. I hope for his sake he does. But you want to kill interest in your team?
I this just didn't work. And you got to move
there
on.
There it is.
They got to lean into it. Just go, you know what? Didn't work.
Didn't work.
Good luck. Take your cash. See you later. That's all.
Didn't work. James is in Detroit. James.
Hey, James.
Hello, gentlemen. I just want to give you guys hope. Because we had no hope in Detroit until one thing happened. And that was when Sheila took over the team from her brother and made him go back to Ford. So we did have an ownership change. And the first thing she did was hire the greatest linebacker in history, Chris Spielman, as the advisor. So it starts from the top and work its way down. Then Spielman brought in Holmes and Campbell.
That's because Campbell is just like Spielman. I mean, they're cut from the same cloth,
same
those
guy.
Two guys, yeah.
So that's where it starts. It doesn't start.
James, you broke up.
Then hold. Well, it's because I'm in Pennsylvania now.
Okay.
I was driving through. So, but it starts there, and then Holmes starts drafting. You said your GM doesn't draft well. Well, look at Holmes' drafts. We got St. Brown in the fourth round. We got Branch, who's probably one of the best. Safeties.
All right, great. We're really happy for you today. We're excited for the. We're just through the roof for the Lions. Thank you. Appreciate it. I don't need sympathy from Lions fans. I just don't.
Encouragement from a Lions fan.
Thank you. Appreciate sympathy. Sympathy. I mean, at least they won't put me to sleep this year on Thanksgiving.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference, 12:30. Sean's in Houston, Texas.
Sean, how are you?
I'm driving back from New Orleans, so I'm sad right now, and I'm glad I didn't close my eyes when I was woo-sawing with you.
I'm sorry, man. Did you feel a spiritual bond there? I could feel it. Like, now it's a whole new world out there.
Yeah.
It was magical. But, yeah,
Thank you.
Like, look, like, Jameis, by watching the game, what the hell else are we going to do? I mean, like, I don't think Deion's going to let us get Sanders. So, what's the most expensive position in the NFL is quarterback. So, just give me somebody I can get for the Chiefs for the next 2 to 3 years and build a team around him and draft some guy in the second round. I don't want to reach for a Mac Jones, Daniel Jones type guy. So, get him. He's going to be cheap. The hell else are we going
to
do?
Well, hey, I've got one way to get Sanders if you want him. I have one way, I think, to hire his dad.
I was going to say either that or hope he doesn't go to the Cowboys next year.
Well, it feels that way, doesn't it? But here's the thing. With his dad would be Pat Shurmur, wouldn't it? He's their offensive coordinator at Colorado. You ready for the return of Pat Shurmur if you're going to do that?
What difference would it make?
I don't know.
Seriously.
I'm just saying.
Sean, I'm with you. I've watched Jameis for three games. I liked him, obviously, before they played him. But my thinking is, well, why wouldn't you bring this guy back and at the very least make him part of your quarterback group? At the very least.
Nothing else to lose. He's a professional backup that can start when you need him.
Exactly. Sean, thank you very much.
Thanks for playing.
And I'm not giving up the thought that he could end up actually being your starting quarterback for a number of years. I mean, look around at some of the reclamation projects. Geno Smith, as Scott Petrak brought up. Sam Darnold doing fine for now in Minnesota. You know, we'll see. Baker Mayfield doing fine in Tampa. There are a number of guys around the league, and you know they're going to get opportunities to be starters somewhere. Bill's in Parma. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Andy. The sky opened up for me when you.
Oh, good. I'm so happy for you. The rain clouds went away. Everything got warmed. Even with the Chiefs losing last night, you're okay with it, right?
You know what? And that's what I wanted to bring up today. As a matter of fact.
Oh, thank you, Christopher Cross.
Feeling mellow there, yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think one of the things I noticed is the gulf between the Browns and those two teams that played last night. It's huge.
You mean the Bills and the Chiefs, or do you mean the Chargers and the Bengals?
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, there's even a gulf between the Chiefs and the Bills against the Bengals and the Chargers. There's a gulf there, and then there's the big gulf between the Chargers and the Bengals to the Browns. That is, it's huge. It has everything to do with love of the game. I myself, this is going to be critical. I thought the Browns quit in the fourth quarter yesterday.
You're not alone. There's a lot of people that I can't tell you the text I got during the game. They're like, these guys are quitting. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, they did. They did quit. And I tell you what, I don't know what it would take, but whatever it takes to get Tayshaun Hill on your team, if he has a one-year contract, and I don't care what position he plays, get him on your team because he is worth every penny. But the bottom line is this organization with the people that we have in charge, I don't care who's wrong or right or whatever. They made a monumental mistake. And Andy, you said 5 years. Well, the 5 years that contract is in place, that's lost. Plus, it's going to take another 5 years at least to get them back on track. This organization right now, these people in control, do not deserve another shot. They need to go. We need to get new scouts in here. We need to get good people in here. You know, to win a Super Bowl, as we see with Shanahan, you know, even though these boy wonders struggle, getting to that final place. And myself, I would hire Belichick. Belichick has a time level that he can only coach to. And he'll set in a system that has been in the past going to the Super Bowl.
And although you could make the argument that's not paying off right now in New England, Bill.
Well, I get it. I get it. But I will tell you, I think, again, what you want, supposedly we have at least some of the cornerstones. That's what we're told all the time.
Yeah.
And I think at least when you have a guy that has been there and knows what it takes to get there and the consistency and puts in the playbook and all this type of stuff, and we're lacking just a few things, I think we can get there. This is not the way to go. If we continue with this administration, it will not happen, period. And I think everybody, you guys know it, everyone knows it. And I tell you, Jimmy, if he doesn't get it, then that's what we're just going to have to live with. And it's sad because you see the difference between the teams that are really competitive right now and where we're at, and it is not even close. Thanks, you guys.
All right,
thank
Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So let me say this is how
Bill,
you get.
Bill called the Browns we instead of the
good
Chiefs.
Good for him.
Well, that's something.
How do you get Bill Belichick? You make him the all-powerful ruler of the Browns. The Haslams don't say another word. They just cut checks. And then you move forward. He would have to be in charge of everything.
Sure he would.
That might be enticing to him. And you'd probably have to give him as much cash as you gave Deshaun up front to get him to come back.
A lot of buzz that he's going to end up in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I see that. Well, if they hang on to their GM, right?
A lot of buzz they're going to. Yeah. We'll see. Waverly Willis is with us, America's favorite barber.
Waverly, how are you, man? Are you okay? I want to make sure you're all right. You've had a crazy couple weeks, man.
I definitely have had a crazy couple of weeks. Yes, I am all right, and
good.
I appreciate you guys asking about that. Just some random dummy. I want to use some expletives, but I respect your show here.
Well, I'm concerned about you, because when I saw the story, I was like, oh, my God, I hope Waverly's okay. That's all.
Yeah, okay. I'm okay. My all team right. is okay. No one
good.
Got hurt.
The and guy, everybody in the shop, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, everybody's good. And as this is a great segue as to why I'm calling to say we need to keep Jameis Winston. And, you know, one of you guys called out the numbers for this past week as well as his last three games. And I mean, everybody, he's labeled just like Cleveland is labeled, unfortunately, the mistake on the lake. He's labeled as an interception throwing quarterback, but his numbers have looked pretty good amongst probably the top percentile in the NFL. Just the last game of the last three games I'm referring to. And then, but most important to me as a business owner, is something called culture and synergy that's important. Now, we got to admit it. Cleveland is a hard sell. It's a hard sell, especially in the wintertime, for anybody to come here. And Jameis, he gives his pregame speeches, and to me, that resonates. That's letting his team know that he has confidence in him, and it's showing the fan base that he literally gives a damn and wants to be here. We got to consider that, and in my opinion, because a good attitude as well as a cancerous attitude both can spread throughout the team, and that's just my two cents. So we need to keep him.
Waverly, thank you. Stay safe, my friends, and all your customers as well.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, bye. Waverly. Appreciate that. I see competent quarterback play, and I think, why would you walk away from that? There's no excuse that the guy's 39 years old and we're going to walk away from it. He's 30 years old. Just seems to me, I'd try and get it done now. And I know that's not likely. I would personally try and get it done now, but we'll see. Jameis has done a very nice job so far. And yet the team is 2-8, and yet they're not scoring points.
Oh, Jeff, I got another pet peeve. I was at a high school football game on Friday.
Yeah?
Reading the scores backwards. Oh, my God.
Who was doing that?
The PA announcer.
Well, that's on them.
Oh.
Come on, step up.
Reading the scores backwards. Like, I just wanted to.
Go tell people. Hi, I'm Andy Baskin.
My daughter looked at me, and she was
like,
you're
reading the score.
Daddy, okay? I'm like, I'll be okay. She cringed a little. I was excited that I've instilled my will into my children to understand that when you say a score, say the higher score first.
There it goes.
Say the higher.
There it goes.
It's not.
And if you're doing it graphically, Guardians home team goes
win.
On the bottom.
Yes. Guardians win 2-6.
Home team on the bottom.
Ah, it drives me insane.
I think it drives Jack and Solon insane as well.
Unless you're doing soccer, there's home team on the top.
Yeah, that's
hey guys.
Right.
It's because it's European. Everything's
right.
Upside down.
Everything's crazy.
Hello, Jack.
Good afternoon, guys.
And
I'm going to reprimand you for talking about a team that shouldn't be talked about, but I know you got to talk about something.
Oh, and are you putting us in the corner? You're
going
to reprimand us? Shame on us?
And I was listening this morning because I did take a break from my important work. But I just wanted to say one thing. Thank God for the Cavaliers so that we are not going to be totally depressed for the entire winter. This is it's energized the whole city, and it's a great thing. But let me just say, I wanted to comment about a couple of things you had mentioned. Number one, bringing Bill Belichick here. Why would he come here? And why would Shedeur Sanders and his father come here?
I just gave you the only reasons that it would even be humanly possible. And it would have to be outrageous. And with all kinds of power and head coaching, and it would be another mistake all the way around.
The Sanders family, they have no ties here. They're probably going to go to Dallas. There's no way that they're coming here. And Bill Belichick, I don't know, does he still have a bad taste in his mouth, even saying the name of Cleveland? I'm not sure about that.
Oh, I don't know. He's over
Bill
that.
Always liked it here.
I don't think Bill has ill will towards Jeff and I can tell you that.
There's going to be major, I don't know if they need to, but there's going to be major changes made because I can't see us winning another game the entire year. And I know you have to talk about them. It's a real shame. Wholesale changes are going to be made. But here's the question. They have really quit since the beginning of the season, and I don't understand why. I mean, from the first game, the Dallas game, they are not playing for this city. They're not playing for the management. They're not playing for the coach. And I don't understand why. Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's an interesting thought, Jack. I don't know that they've quit playing. I didn't like the effort of the defense yesterday, especially in the second half, but I didn't like the effort of the defense. I thought the offense played its you-know-what off yesterday. I saw nothing but effort out of the offense yesterday. Would you agree?
To some degree, but there's something wrong, and it's been wrong since the beginning of the season. I just can't put my finger on it. I don't think it's Kevin Stefanski, but he's going to be gone, I think. And so is the G. I think the wholesale changes are coming, whether that's the right move or the wrong move. But you can't have a team that went from the playoffs the year before to end up being what, 2-15, 3-14, whatever.
I'll bet you that won't happen. But Jack, I don't know if you heard the start of the show, but we said at the start of the show, this is the type of season that gets people fired.
Yes.
You know, so you're right,
and that's what's going to happen, right or wrong. It's going to happen. But as far as us getting, you got to have different people picking the players, because if management stays the same, we're going to pick the wrong players in the draft, as we always have.
Jack, thank you for the phone call and the reprimand. We appreciate both. Stefanski's press conference in about 23 minutes. Don is in Dayton. Hello, Don.
Hey, Don.
How you doing? How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I've been a fan for 70 years.
Nice.
And to see this kind of football, I can't tell you how disgusting and depressing it is. One thing, you could tell the guys, the effort, like you said, wasn't there. And I don't understand why either. I guess they just gave up. But, and the last gentleman said, whoever, you know, does the drafting with Andrew Berry, I mean, he might be a nice guy and all, but the early rounds, he fails miserably, and he doesn't seem to want to draft anybody until the third round. And maybe you guys can explain this to me. When you have, they always talk about continuity. You need continuity in your football team to progress. Last year, they was what, 11 games? What, 11 games?
Yep.
And why in the world do you make so many changes on the team? You bring in another offensive coordinator with a different philosophy in football. They try to merge the two offenses together, and it doesn't seem to be working. You bring in new coaches, new offensive line coach, which they had to do because he left. But on the defense, you got new coaches there too. Why do that? It doesn't make sense to me.
The only thing I can say about that, and I thought it was interesting, don't know the behind the scenes, don't know if there are any issues, don't know if they thought in order to advance a little bit more, we need to tweak some things. What I do know, Don, is that... It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
The one constant in pro sports is change. And it's on coaching staffs. Look at the resumes of guys in the NFL, NFL head coaches, NFL assistant coaches. And they bounce all over the place all the time. They go from good programs to good programs to bad programs. They're all over the place. So
Kansas City doesn't seem to be changing all their coaches very much.
Well, not all of them, but
yeah.
Look around the league. I mean, that's what mainly happens. is that guys bounce like crazy.
Maybe whoever's making the judgment on the coaches they bring in needs to have a different philosophy too.
Well, I think there are a lot of different philosophies, and Don, thank you. There are a lot of different philosophies that could be embraced. I will tell you, I'm stunned they're 2-8. I thought
there were so many close games, you know, that could have gone maybe early in the season.
But good teams win those.
I know. You're right.
We've been
on both sides of this. So
I'm just stunned they're 2-8. You know, I can't believe the offense is as bad as it was. The only thing I'll say about what's happened so far that is, I think, a good thing, and we'll see if they follow through. I said before the season started that you should find out this year and make a decision on whether Deshaun Watson should see the next 2 years of this contract. And I think it's real clear that you need to find a different quarterback. And if there's one thing that can come out of this, it's that. I mean, nothing against Deshaun. I mean, guy got his money. He's going to get paid. He's, you know, whatever. He didn't ask to be traded here. He said no. As Andy, as you pointed out, Brown should have listened to him.
Yeah.
Ugh. Said they threw more money at him and draft picks.
Said I'm not coming.
He told them, and they didn't listen. And they made it worth his while. And it was clearly a bad move. And another bad move would be rolling into next season with him actually playing on this team.
A little bit of news, gentlemen. Mike Tomlin holding his press conference right now, saying he hasn't checked with Alex Highsmith for his availability, the defensive end / linebacker pass rusher.
Who's really good. Opposite TJ Watt.
But says he's probably more out than in. So looking like you won't see Alex Highsmith for Thursday. So he got that going for you, which is nice.
Well, don't wish him any ill will, but there you go.
No, that's not meant to wish ill will.
No, I know it's not. Yeah. I know. Dominic is in East Rochester. Dominic.
Good morning, boys.
Morning.
How are you, sir?
I feel like I've made this call several times before. But this time it's just, you know, and I know nobody likes to go there, but the word fire comes into play here. This just isn't working in this way. And I happen to like this coach, but the results, or lack of, are the results. And this is fireable in the NFL, and it's fireable right now. There should be no delay. Who's out there? I don't know. It's not my job to know. Other guys get paid a lot of money to know how you even begin to fix this. By the way, shout out to Joe. Earlier in the show, we are not going to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers Thursday night. As a matter of fact, guys, speaking of which, and just like your last caller, I'm 70 years a Browns fan. I'm hanging by a thread. I've never switched teams in my life. You guys may recall I'm a Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. Never switched teams in my life. But of all the teams, I'm watching Pittsburgh yesterday afternoon, and I'm saying to myself, why isn't this my team? This team plays football the way it's supposed to be played. Their coach is not calling plays on the sideline like ours still insists on doing.
Nope, I don't know. Ours isn't. No, he quit doing that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Pardon?
He quit doing that a couple weeks ago.
He did?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, thank goodness for that. Why did he have an offensive coordinator in the first place if he wasn't going to call the plays?
Dominic, you can't really argue that Kevin was a pretty good play caller the last 4 years.
Oh, I'm not buying that. Okay. You can say that, but I'm not buying it.
All right, I am.
I'm not buying it.
I am. I've been a Browns fan for 5 decades. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You guys are just resuming each other to
thank
death
you very
there.
Much.
Wow, look at that.
Everybody gets a cookie.
I have medals out in the car if you need some. I'll get you one.
Dominic, I agree with you completely. This isn't working.
It's not working.
Yep, I mean, agree.
It's that simple.
Not working.
It's just not working. And, I mean, the mistakes have been, you know, from top to bottom. I mean, really, we are on the downslope. You know, we peaked over the fence at 11 wins, and now we're on the downslope. We're going from 11 wins
to two wins?
Dominic, thank you for the phone call. You made sense.
Dominic scares me a little bit.
You think he knows people?
I think he does. I think he does. Dominic scares me just a little bit. I don't want to. Yes, sir. You got it.
Okay.
You know, we were so optimistic yesterday on the pregame show. We're like, okay, let's just look forward to the future. Let's see what we can see. Blah, 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 blah.
Isn't it stunning?
How was he on the postgame? Because he's so optimistic. Sometimes I wonder.
He's a very optimistic guy. He's also very realistic.
He's realistically optimistic. How's that?
He said something at the beginning of the season, before it became an issue, that I thought was interesting when he said it.
And that was?
He's proven to be correct on this. He said, I don't like the fact that they brought back the defense basically intact. And I thought, really? The defense was pretty good last year. And he doesn't like the idea of bringing it back basically intact. And guess what?
He thought they should have
shaken
it up a little bit?
No. Not just shake it for the sake of shaking, but shake it for the sake of improving. And they didn't do a lot of that. And Tyvus, before we ever actually even saw any issues, said that he thought that was not a good idea. And I think he's been proven to be correct, don't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't think it was going to be. Yep. I felt good. I mean, Jeff, there weren't a whole lot of movement in that, the top 22, right? The guys that start.
Oh, no, not at all. Jay's out buzzing around somewhere. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Good. You? It's a therapy Monday, man. It's dragging.
It is dragging. So I got to be honest. I'm 27 years old. I know there's a lot of older guys on here that have called in today. But, I totally agree with the caller that said it starts at the top with ownership with Jimmy Haslam. And, you even look at when the Browns got brought back. Well, when was that, in 99?
Yeah.
They got brought back, right?
Yep.
And they had Al that brought them back. Al Lerner.
Yeah.
And, I think they got to the playoffs in 2001, right?
Yep. Keep going. Yep.
Am I correct on that? And then he passed away, and his son took over the team. And
was the playoff game in 02?
Yeah, and unfortunately,
the playoff game was in 02. I think that's right.
Okay, yeah. But his son took over the team, and you look at what happened when his son took over the team. He really didn't care that much about the Browns. He was more involved in his London soccer team.
I don't know, man. I think he gets a bad rap for that. I think he just wanted to do what I think we all wanted an owner to do. Spend as much money, not complain, and just hire the right guy.
Good people, he thought, and get out of the way.
He just had to hire the right guy, and everything would have been way different.
I understand, but he didn't hire the right people. And then you get this spiral effect. He sells the team to Jimmy, and I believe there was an ownership group that came together that were local Ohio guys, business owners, some Fortune 500 CEOs and stuff like that. And they wanted to buy the team, and Lerner sold the team for as much money as possible, which he can do, to Jimmy Haslam. It goes to Jimmy. He's been terrible the last 13 years. And he has made so many bad moves. I think we can all agree on that. And you just look ahead to how the team's run with Di Podesta at the top. I don't understand how he has not been fired at this point. And I just don't see where they go the next 2 years with this Deshaun Watson contract. I don't know what you guys think about it, but I just think at some point you got to cut your losses with Kevin Stefanski. He's a great coach. But maybe you move on to Vrabel and just suck for the next 2 years. And you get all these draft picks back, and you start over. Because I just don't know what else you're going to do. I mean, they're in a really bad spot.
Yeah. Jay, I agree with you.
By the way, that playoff game was in 03. Sorry, 02 was the season.
We all know it's a rough spot right now.
Yeah.
Ownership, you can't say anybody's made the right move because they're 2-8. Okay? And Jay just said Paul Di Podesta. I get into it with a guy who called the show yesterday. Is Paul Di Podesta at the top?
He's part of the group. It's a group decision.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Exactly. Yeah, he's in the group of decision makers. And if he's the guy calling all the shots, well, then they've hidden that very well.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
That is true. There you go. And partner. He did say partner. So it's them. Apparently, he's not calling all the shots.
Which apparently is the thing. Ankle's got a lot of moving parts and all that stuff. The fibula's just sitting there.
Jeff, it sounds like the mid-shaft fibula fracture can heal in about 6 weeks, while a spiral fracture take 3 to 6
Tyvus,
months.
Tyvus, listen to Andy BSing. He's
and if
joining
you've got
us right
pain
now
and swelling.
On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Tyvus Powell. Hello, Tyvus.
Hello, Tyvus.
How you doing, gentlemen? How's the phone calls? Isn't it a wonderful day in Cleveland?
It's like it was yesterday for us, buddy.
There's a lot of higher-up calls. Huh?
Oh, my goodness. That's the case. ankles, tough injury to recover from. Broken fibula, not as tough, correct?
That is very correct, yes.
Okay.
The ankle thing, you know, you can work that. You know, do some... You make sure you get some flexion, some flexibility in your ankles. Fibula, that's a little longer of a road to recover.
There it is.
All right, my friend. Describe what we witnessed yesterday, please.
Well, what it looked like to me was you seen the team that came out there, and, you know, Jameis looked really good offensively, very strong, solid performance. You seen some wide receivers step up and make plays when the ball was their way. And then you've seen a team that totally collapsed in the fourth quarter, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, you know. And a lot of guys are talking about the effort and throughout that. You know, outside of DeJuan Thornhill, I don't know how much of the effort it is. I think DeJuan Thornhill thing, that was big. I don't know. I can't spin that any type of way. You are what you put on tape. But it's just a lot of misfits that happen. And the not running to the ball part is the thing that stands out to me, because – even on the fourth and one play to Taysom Hill, you know, yes, Dale Pitt should make the tackle, but Dale Pitt misses the tackle. My issue with the whole thing is after he missed that tackle, where are the 10 other guys? He slowed them down. You know, it was to the point where the funny part is Taysom Hill breaks the tackle and continues to run, and he turns around like, where everybody at? Like, that to me was weird. So I understand the effort thing where when people talk about that, but this defense completely has lost what they were last year. You know, they are completely been a shell of themselves from what they were from a year ago, and it's unfortunate, and it makes no sense, because they are the ones that kept their defensive staff. They are the ones that brought back the same 11 players. So why, excuse me, 10, because they are missing a middle of Mike. Jordan Hicks is new. 10 players, and yet this is the performance that we're seeing from them, and it just makes no sense to me.
I gave you credit earlier on in the show for saying something early on that I didn't catch. You said it, and you're right, as it turns out. And when you said you didn't like the idea that they brought back the defense basically as is from last year, even though it was the number one ranked defense against, you know, yardage in the NFL, why did you feel that way? Why do you need to tinker?
You need to tinker it because once you bring back the same players, you got a whole tape of these guys. You have a whole tape on exactly who they are as a player. You can scheme it up. You can find out a player's weaknesses. But see, if you bring somebody different in, if you switch it up a couple, just it ain't got to be a lot, just a couple of new pieces that people might not understand how they're going to fit in there. Those could be the difference. They can make a couple plays a game that's not expected from them to make, and it gives the defense a total different look of what it is. With this, you've seen what Houston did to you. They figured it out. And yet, you came out there and ran it back with the exact same players. They've been figured out. So everybody's going to take that blueprint and just continue to exploit that blueprint. And that's why I'm not a fan of always running it back with the same guys. You need somebody to be an X factor that switches things up and changes the identity, you know, that can make a play here and there that's not expected. So that's my reasoning behind that.
That's interesting.
Tyvus, when you're in a situation like they are right now and you walk in the locker room, is everybody on needles and pins wondering what their own future is going to be? Or, you know, what's it like? I think this isn't a bad week to have a Thursday night game because there's really no time to think about anything other than getting prepared for Thursday. But when they walk in there on Monday morning tomorrow or next week, I mean, it makes it a little bit of a longer week. And then, you know, what's it like in the locker room? Tell me what it's like in the building.
I mean, obviously, you know, your playoff implications is pretty much down the drain at this point. I think I said this maybe a week ago, you know, where now what it pivots to is there's still – you can't as a player just pack it in and say, you know what, it is what it is. You can't do that because there's no guarantee that they're bringing you back. And for the guys that's on the last year of their deals, they need to put out good tape so somebody will pick them up, or this is it. Like, this is the last thing we're going to see is you in a Browns uniform. So you always have to be motivated to go out there and play hard for the simple fact that you are still playing for a job somewhere next year. If it's not with the Browns, it's with somebody. It's like the preseason all over again. You got to go out there and play as hard as you can and put good tape because you're still trying to make this team for next year or a team the following season. So, you know, guys still got. They're still gonna play hard. You know, but the wins and losses, it just don't sting the same. When you lose, it ain't gonna sting you. It's like we wasn't going nowhere anyway. But that's
well said.
His difference right there. Like you, when you lose, it's like, okay, whatever.
Tyvus Powell joining us from the Browns Radio Network. What do you make of Mike Vrabel being on the sidelines at a road game for the first time all year and in with the communications aspect, wearing an earpiece? That was the case yesterday in New Orleans. And Kevin Stefanski said he was able to make it on a road game with us. He's been with us on home games, but he was on the road. That feels a little funny, Tyvus.
I mean, Mike Vrabel finally being on the sidelines, first of all, I think that's something that should have happened. I mean, everybody that called in yesterday and everybody would say, you know, Kevin doesn't get on these guys. Well, Mike Vrabel will.
Right?
Mike Vrabel will. You know, if you want that guy, if Kevin doesn't want to come off as the bad guy or if he wants to, you know, stay on their good graces, you still need somebody to be in these guys' faces and hold people accountable. And you appoint somebody to be that a-hole, as they would say. And Vrabel has no problem doing that. And I think the difference is it hits differently because what are you going to say to Vrabel, a Super Bowl champion, a guy that's played in the league for multiple years, a guy that's the epitome of Cleveland, a guy that's from Cleveland, a guy that played the game hard as heck, every snap he could. And on top of those things, you see him every day in practice. He's still sprinting around in practice. You got a relationship with him, so you got the respect from him or for him. So, I mean, that's, to me, it would have been they should have been done that because he could get the best out of somebody just from just talking to them or getting in their face on the sideline and getting them fired up.
All right, I don't want to talk about getting fired, but I'm going to talk about getting fired. When your team can't score 20 points a game and you've only done it once this season, I mean, we have to expect change, right, at the end of the year. And so I talked about walking around the locker room on needles and pins, but I don't – where do you start, like, on a change if you're going to make a change? And, you know, obviously, Ken Dorsey's not looking real good at this point because the offense – despite the fact, though, that they're just weird. You know, they're the worst team in the red zone. They can't get there in the entire NFL. They don't even get there twice a game. So I don't know how it doesn't start there, and then you go from there to what's next. So what's next as far as trying to rebuild a coaching staff or rebuilding a front office, or does it not have to happen? You tell me.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of ways you could go. You know, you can – all right, so let's break this thing all the way back down. Let's talk about just some of the mistakes that I think was made to begin with. You know, I think that when you go back to the fact that you overloaded your entire offensive staff because you wanted to cater – instead of catering to 52 players, you decided to cater to one player. That's a problem. That's red flag number one, okay? Secondly, because I feel like that's a red flag for the simple fact that why did you go get a player who couldn't play in your system? Like that's when you do scouting, when you go draft, when you go get free agents, typically you go get the guy that played in your system, that did well in your system, and it'll be an easy transition. Like that. So that was the red flag from day one right there. So you overhaul your whole offensive staff. You know, for various reasons. It's not just for Deshaun. It's everybody had their own personal reasons for wanting to go or for getting fired and all of those things. So I'm not just going to put all that on Deshaun. But that was the first one. Secondly, you do go get another play caller, but you don't let him call the plays. You know, but this is the guy that's supposed to be better suited for your quarterback, but you don't let him call the plays. You know, so that was kind of a red flag as well. So I think those are the things that you have to address right there. You got to figure out, one, who your quarterback is.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's going to be, two, do have you lost the culture of this team? You know, when you look at this team from last year, you look at the team this year, you can tell that it's two totally different looks. They look totally different. You know, not the accountability, the energy, the passion, the toughness, all of those things is lacking this season. So you have to ask yourself, what changed from last season to this season? There's a handful of things you could point out, but you got to pinpoint which one of them was the most significant change. Find a way to get that back. And if you think Kevin can't get that back, if you think Kevin has made the decision to where, you know, he's become their friends and guys just don't respond to him anymore, I mean, then that's a different conversation. But I do believe Kevin is a great coach. I do believe that the reason that people respect Kevin so much is because of the way he doesn't shade you in public. You can have an honest conversation with him. He can get the best out of you. And I think a lot of players got a lot of respect for Kevin. So I know a lot of people is on this big fire Kevin Stefanski train. I don't necessarily think that that's it, but I definitely think you need to figure out where the disconnect happened at. Maybe training camp was too soft this year. Maybe y'all trusted the players to do things and they just didn't get them done. You know, you give them an inch, they took a mile. Maybe that's what happened. You know, but something significant happened that nobody's talking about. But this team has significantly regressed from just an attitude standpoint. And it's more particularly on the defensive side of the ball where there wasn't a lot of change. That's the part that is really mind-boggling. You know, a lot of people talk about the offense struggling this year. I look at the defense because the defense, this is the thing about the defense. They knew before anybody else knew what that offense was going to look like. How? Because they see them every day in practice. They seen the joint practices. They seen them every day in practice. They seen how they couldn't move the ball and all the non-success that they was having. So if I'm a defensive player and I know those things, we got to crank it up. We got to be the aces this year. We got to carry this franchise this year. And the fact that they didn't step up to that challenge is very alarming to me. So that's my biggest beef is really with the defense, not the offense. But I'm biased because I'm a former defensive player.
That's all right. That's the idea. If you're in that locker room and you've just watched Jameis Winston play three games and have two pretty good games, one rough game, but throw for as many yards as anybody in the NFL over the last 3 weeks and throw for almost 400 yards yesterday, what do you think right now?
I understand why Kevin would say he gives us the best chance to win games. I think that Jameis is one of those guys that he does give them – from an organizational standpoint, he is the best quarterback to help you evaluate the rest of your offense. If you're trying to make some decisions on receiver or offensive line and stuff like that, he is the logical choice because of the fact that he knows how to run a pro-style offense. He knows how to put the ball out there and give the receiver a chance. He's not moving around, scrambling around, or drifting in the pocket. So these offensive linemen know the spot that they got to protect to keep him clean, you know? So I think that from an evaluation standpoint, he's perfect. From a defensive standpoint, listen, the guy lets the ball fly. I mean, that's it. He can make something happen. So it should be more inspiring to get the ball back to him because he has the ability to put points up on the board.
Thanks for being with us, sir.
Oh, no problem. Go always and forever, no matter how good or bad the season is. Go Browns, go Bucks, and go Cavs.
Well, all three. I like that.
And, how about the guards? You want to throw guards in there, too?
Let me ask you one more thought. Guards, too. Let me ask you one more thought. This was so disappointing on Sunday, and you turn around and you play on Thursday. What's that do for this team that's sitting there at 2-8 right now?
Well, I'll tell you what. The number one thing they will say is they got to flush this. It gives you no time to sit around and pout about the Saints game. You got to move on, flush it, learn what you need to learn, and you can make things right by beating Pittsburgh. You know, at this point, give the city of Cleveland something to be excited about. You beat Baltimore. That was great because they stole the Browns, so you want to always stick it to Baltimore. But to beat Pittsburgh, man. You might lose the rest of the season, but we can always say we beat Baltimore, beat Pittsburgh. That gives the fans something to be excited about. So I think that it's a big game, and I'm hoping that these guys show up for that.
We'll see you on Thursday. Thanks, buddy.
See you, Tyvus.
I'll see you on Thursday.
Tyvus Powell, a man who loves his fantasy football.
Really?
Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler really Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You need to watch games with them instead of getting ready for games with them.
That's how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You heard what Tyvus had to say about a few different things there, folks. And that's the guy who has been with a lot of different organizations and seen a lot of different coaches and everything else. He likes Kevin Stefanski as a coach. He always has. And I think that if you're in that camp, I think that might make this whole thing even stickier than anything else. Because I think you have a good coach.
I have a tiny way out of it. I'll tell you.
But you're 2-8.
I have a tiny way out. We were both a little surprised he didn't have a job this year, but
yep.
To his resolve, that might be the best thing that ever happened because he might have other teams looking at him.
I really liked him as an NFL head coach. The thought that he's here as an advisor, consultant, you know, coaching consultant, and as Kevin has said, he's been in, been valuable to him as a resource. Does that make you think that it's less likely or more likely that he would be a possible successor?
Less.
I think so too.
Yeah. If he's on headset on sidelines during game day and you want to change the coaching staff, I think
It sounds kind of creepy almost, doesn't it?
Yeah, like you're kind of waiting.
Yeah, and I don't mean that from a Vrabel standpoint. I mean just who are the deep thinkers who put the guy who might succeed the guy right there on the sideline next to him with an earpiece in?
Yeah,
I honestly think he's here to help.
I do too.
Succeed.
I think he's with another team next year. That's what I think. I don't think he's with the Browns. I think he'll be head coach somewhere else. That's what I think. Why wouldn't he be? He'll be a head coach somewhere else. I have a way out. I mean, I actually have a way out of this thing that if you wanted to retain pretty much everybody, you could. You want to hear it?
Do I ever?
What if Jimmy Haslam steps out and just says, guys, look, and is talking to the fans and is absolutely honest with the fans and just said, this road we're down is my fault. I've signed off on everything. I've got good people in place. They know what they're doing. I've trusted them, and I will continue to trust them. If you want to blame someone, blame me. This is 100% on me, and we have a new directive, and I'm going to try to step back from operations. And I was just like, if these guys need something, they can come to me. Otherwise, I'm not going to get involved with anything. And it says that and is open and is honest with the fans. If he steps out and does that change anything? It's on me. The people I have that are working for me right now, I believe in them. We are going at this, and we are going to change this culture, and we are going to – I can't change injury, but maybe we made some bad decisions. The hard part is that Deshaun's still under contract. So I don't know how you attack it moving forward without completely 1,000% devaluing every cent you have invested into Deshaun Watson. But I do think that if he stepped out there and said, look, maybe I'm the guy that decided to make the decision that turned this franchise in the completely wrong direction. I don't know. There might be some validity to that, and there might be some hope for the future for the rest of this team. And by the way, he's not going to fire himself. So what are the repercussions?
If he steps out and says, blame me, then what do you do if you're a fan, if you're anybody?
He's got to say, blame me, but this is how we're going to correct things in the future.
Blame me, but we're not going to fire anybody.
Yeah.
All right, then how are you going to get better?
But he's going to say, I'm going to step away from having my hands and stuff. I don't know. Maybe.
Does he have his hands and stuff?
I don't know.
Exactly.
But if he wants to keep these, he could even just get out there and say, believe me, and if he didn't have his hands and stuff, say, I had my hands and everything. I'm stepping away. It buys you another year, I think.
Maybe. Jim is in Strongsville. Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Welcome.
Andy, we're not stupid. That will not work.
Well, I mean, what if it's true? What if he is the reason that all the problems are going on right now, and he recognizes that and says, I'm the problem. It's me.
I don't think that's the case. Now.
And maybe then we get a Taylor Swift concert, too, because they could sing it to each other. That'd be great. Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Andy, I hear what you're saying. I like Kevin Stefanski, too. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. Look, the problem is Kevin Stefanski is not a great coach. You guys keep saying he's a great coach. I think we have a heck of a coach.
I don't know that I've ever heard Jeff say he's a great coach. A good play caller. Okay. I've never said – I mean
– I like him as a head coach,
I think he's
Jim.
A good coach.
I don't. Here's why I tell you why.
Okay.
One of the biggest problems with this team over the 5 years he's been here have been pre-snap penalties. If you're a head coach and you have consistently have pre-snap penalty issues, that falls on you. I'm sorry. It's an undisciplined group. That's what falls on him. And I'll say this too. Look, when we look at when the Browns have had success over the last 5 years, they've had success in two kind of wonky seasons when every break went their way. NFL games come down to, breaks and how they affect you. You're not a successful organization when you count on every break going your way to have a successful season. Look at the Steeler game yesterday. They threw a pick in the end zone that would have put the game away. And you know what? You very easily could have packed it up and said, oh, Steelers are going to lose this. But they didn't. Because the good teams are not affected by those 50-50 balls. They're not as affected by them. They don't live and die by things falling their way. They make things go their way. And you show me one case where Kevin Stefanski has built this team into a team that makes their own luck versus when everything goes great, we can make the playoffs. When things don't go 100% our way, we can't. And I go back to the Indianapolis game last year, guys. Look, we're all like, oh, this team's such a wonderful story. You know how many freak things happened in that Indianapolis game for the Browns to actually win it? It was like a comedy of errors. So I just look, I want to coach you. I just think when you look at the good coaches, their teams are not so fragile that when they don't get all the breaks, they can't win. And that's what I see from him. I don't see the leadership thing. I don't see a lot. I'm sorry. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. He's obviously not getting it done with the players. And there's no way you bring any of these guys back, period.
Jim, thank you very much. I think one of the big issues, Andy, and I do think there's an issue. And though I like Kevin as a head coach, I do think that one thing stands out to me that I think, okay, why? Why is this the case? Okay. 11-5 first year. That worked. Mm-hmm. 11-5 first year. It's like, boy, you're onto something here. And then 8-9. Okay. And then 7-10. All right, I can live with that. You know, you've got to tinker with the team a little bit. Okay, I could tolerate that. Then you go 11-6 last year,
mm-hmm.
right? You get to the playoffs. How do you follow all that up with 2-8? That is the one thing that in my mind I just keep going back to and just thinking.
I'll go back.
I could understand a change because of that.
Tyvus made a great point. They changed the entire offense for one player. They changed it all for one player rather than the entire squad. So there's one thing that I think makes a lot of sense.
You kind of had to.
Did you?
Yeah, to see if it would work. And it goes back to my point from the beginning of the season. You've now proven that it's not going to work, and you just need to move on from him and then do damage control on the rest of the playbook and the roster and go.
They've got to figure it out. I mean, this just sucks. The whole thing sucks, right?
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.